Blog Talk Radio. I'm Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Monday. Well, it's sunny and warm here in Houston, and I'm hoping your day is shaping up the same. It always helps to take a sunny and warm attitude into the day as well. So if you're feeling partly cloudy, just stay tuned. Maybe I can help to brighten your day. If you're a mom, I want to wish you a happy belated Mother's Day and know that I think you are fabulous in every way. Yes, you are. Being a mom is one of the toughest jobs on earth with no union, no one you can demand a raise from. But fortunately, if you can manage it successfully, the benefits and rewards are really great. So I hope you had a good one. I salute you for doing your absolute best. And speaking of best, are you giving your best to life, to work, to all your hopes and plans, the dreams that you have? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today on Toxology, Your Best You. My special guest is a successful businessman and entrepreneur, and he's dedicated to the work of helping others succeed in life and work. And he is magnificent at it. I've had a little mentoring from him myself, and in my opinion, he has all the right answers. So I would like to welcome Kevin Kowalki to the Foxology stage today. Boy, do we have a treat for you. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Silver Ray. How are you?
I am so awesome. And hello there, Kevin. We had a little technical difficulty. Don't really know what went wrong. That has never happened before. But
that's,
you know what? The intelligent guy I know you are, you came back on in. And I guess I should have given you a heads up just in case something did happen. Just either sit tight or call back. But you're thinking on your feet. So I'm sorry about that.
That's quite a right.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Glad to be here.
Oh, gosh. I think I had just introduced you to everybody. And why don't you go ahead at this point and tell people a little bit about what you do. Your life is dedicated to helping people. And, you know, you're so generous at it. You give your time. You give a lot of extraordinary information that really helps people in life and business. And from what I can tell, you don't typically, for that part of it that I've experienced, really tap a lot out of people to make that happen. But I imagine, like a lot of other things, the rewards come to you in another way. But tell people what you do, and I know you have an event you host every month, and tell us how all that got started and why.
Well, sure, and thank you. You know, I really appreciate being on here, and I appreciate any opportunity that I get to be able to spread a message really about the journey that I've had in my life personally, you know, for the last 16 plus years, I have really truly been in business for myself. I have a residential mortgage practice that I have a very large following. I produce a high amount of business with that, and I really love it because I've been able to really make a difference in my community and with my clients that I have by providing them real service, real advice, so that they can make sure that when they buy a home, they finance a home, they refinance, whatever the case is going to be, that they know that they're really being taken care of and not by somebody who's just really looking for a paycheck. And I've been able to develop very specific programs where I help first-time home buyers and I educate them about, you know, their credits and how to manage their debt, and for individuals who are experiencing a life change, such as a divorce, and how to make sure that they understand that there's still hope in life after going through such a traumatic experience, and how they can maintain home ownership and do it in a successful way and not feel like their life is just going to, you know, completely fall apart. And so with that, I've been able to reach so many people, and I speak on a regular basis, and it's been really nice to be able to spread that word and give people, you know, that knowledge and that experience that they really truly need to make sure that they're making informed decisions when it comes to something so important. And through that, I have learned so much because I have been on not only my own, like, self-study where, you know, I'm constantly reading books. I mean, I've got, well, probably somewhere between 500 and 1,000 books in my library, and I'm constantly seeking knowledge that I can use to help others. And as you had mentioned, I have a monthly event. It's called the Thursday Morning Thing, which I created almost 7 years ago now, where, you know, because of the fact that I really had nobody and I had to learn this myself and really didn't have any mentors, I finally realized that, you know what, my local community in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area really needed something different, a place where they could come and show up and feel like they're part of something, because being an entrepreneur can be very lonely. And so that has turned into this really crazy, fun, highly impactful group of the best entrepreneurs and most interesting people in the state of Wisconsin, and I'm really proud of it. And I love to be able to give back, because entrepreneurship is such an important thing to me personally, and on my own personal development that I've been on, you know, for the last 15 years or so. So I appreciate you, you know, giving me the chance just to, you know, briefly talk about it and then come on the air today and help others really become the best person that they can be, no matter where they are in life.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking, and because I so believe in you and what you do, you are in Wisconsin, and I don't know how many other opportunities you are or have to reach people around the world. And I your message and what you do is so powerful and so provocative and so helpful that I just want to be a part of helping people hear those principles and those strategies and those things that you live by that have made you successful, and I know are helping so many others. You helped me break past some fears just in a couple of times of talking with you. And as I continue to read the emails that I'm not there any longer, but as I continue to read the emails, there's not one that I get that I don't see something that really lights something up additional for me. So I'm trying to do a good thing for everybody, putting you out there.
Well, I appreciate
we can't
that.
We can't be selfish with somebody like you, that's for sure. Well, we are talking about being your best self, and why don't we start out talking about how to do that. One of the things you say is you have to desire to want to have the best life possible. You didn't say the best you possible, but the best life. That has to come from you first, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that I've noticed in people in general is that we're so inundated with stuff, with information, with advertising, with busy lives and going here, there, and everywhere, and the whole thing, that sometimes I think we just literally go through life without even knowing we're going through life. And so for someone to want to begin this journey, of really trying to tap into what is the best that they can be, they have to have a desire, and I call it having a burning desire deep down in your belly, where you just say to yourself, you're like, you know what, I've had enough of this. I don't want to just coast through life. I don't want to feel like I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to please these people, and I have to be a certain someone. It's time for me to be me. It's time for me to be happy. Because one of the things that I tell, and it can be very controversial for people who have never heard it before, is I say that I believe you have to be selfish. You have to want to make yourself happy first, because if you don't, I truly believe, because I've been on both sides of this thing, I truly believe that if you aren't selfish and you don't do what makes you happy, you just cannot simply be the best you to your spouse, to your mom and dad, to your kids, to your employer, or whatever the case is, because you're not giving your best because you don't feel your best. Mm-hmm. And that's a really big moment. And it can be a hard thing for people to really grab a hold of and believe and be confident believing it, because it's so contrarian to what everybody else talks about.
Well, I believe, too, that you're right. It took me a while to get that. And when you're an individual who just likes sharing that mindset very much, it's real tough, but you're absolutely right. When you realize it's not a bad thing, that you're really not being selfish in the sense that you're holding back any of your gifts or the things that you're used to giving, it's just about making sure you're in that place where your satisfaction is there, your goals are right, and you're working toward things that are important to you, too. I think when you get there, as hard a work as that can be for some of us, you really are on a great launching pad.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And what's really interesting is that when you start this journey, and it's going to be challenging because at times you're going to think, wow, am I really making the right decision? Am I really doing what I should be doing? You'll have some feelings of guilt and all those kind of things. But you just have to be very conscious, and you have to be willing to take a moment, step back, and say, okay, the decision that I made, whatever I did, was it really in the best interest of me first? And as you start to do that and you are very conscious about it, it becomes very natural then over time. But the thing is you do have to have a little bit of tough skin, because you have some people who will look at you and they'll think that you're doing something that, you know, may be perceived by the public as a negative thing, but they just don't realize that what you're doing is going to be so much greater for everybody that you allow into your life, because you're giving yourself that best opportunity again to be the best you, which will then transcend everything else that you've ever done before with regards to the love that you can give, the support that you can give, the guidance that you can give, you know, to others that you allow in your life.
Kevin, why do you think it's so difficult for people? You said that we coast through life, and you know that's very true. Why do you think we are so in a place where a lot of us just are kind of waiting and watching and hoping for things to happen? And I remember when you told me how crazy that is. I remember when you told me just how crazy that is. How do people really think anything's going to happen just by sitting and watching and waiting and wanting? Do you think that we are in a society that kind of supports that in one way, and that folks who are really working hard and getting wealthy and making their dreams happen just aren't talking loud enough about what the real deal is, that they don't tell enough about their stories? Because, you know, it's you're having fun, but boy, I also happen to know that you're on vacation and still working. So I know that it doesn't just. And I mean, right now you're on vacation,
right,
but you're still working. So I know that wealth and success doesn't come by just watching and waiting and wanting, but you know, you kind of wonder, what does that come from? Because so many people think that.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And, you know, this is where things can definitely get a little bit heated. because I'm very opinionated, as you know, and I try to be respectful as much as possible, but I also tell it like it is. And I think in today's society, people who are real go-getters, people who are wealthy, people who have made a lot of money, you know, all that gets the focus is the money part of it. You know, they feel that individuals, you know, like myself, we're greedy, we're this, that, the other whole deal, but they don't recognize all the things that we do, and a lot of things we do we don't talk about. You know this because you and I have had many personal conversations, but I'm very charitable. I'm charitable with my time. I'm charitable with my knowledge. I'm charitable with my finances. I believe I'm a very good steward. And so as I become blessed and become blessed more and more, I ultimately give back in a greater fold than what I had, you know, beforehand, which is why I'm on this call today with you. Yes, I'm totally on vacation, and I still found it so important to have this opportunity to share this information with people that I just had to take time out of what I was doing personally to be able to do this. And some people may think of that like, no big deal, whatever. But it is a big deal, you know, because I could just say, forget it, I'm just going to disconnect from the world. But I recognize that giving back is important. And so because of the fact that society has beat this message into people, I believe what's happened is that we as a general population have stopped really thinking and analyzing what the majority of people do who have done well in their life. And they probably just think of the people who are in the headlines or, you know, have these really nasty stories that are told about them and forget about the majority. And so that's the first thing that I would tell people is I would say, listen, as you're on this journey to become the best you, you better be ready for it, because when that happens, really good things start to happen for you, opportunities start to show up for you, and you're going to get people who are potentially, you know, going to say bad things about you or whatever the case is. And it could be out of jealousy, it could be out of fear, a lot of different things. But I believe the first step that holds people back is by being willing and having the guts to go do this, because I believe most people are scared to. I believe they are afraid of fitting in. I believe they're afraid of what people will say about them. And until you can get over that, and until you can have, like I mentioned before, that burning desire to be the best you so that you can make a difference with whomever you allow into your life, it's just never going to happen.
Hmm. Well, that was a mindful right there. Well, I know that there's just some prevailing mindsets that, you know, it baffles me because, you know, how long can you just sit and wait and really think that, you know, there's just going to be a big house that pops up and a car and a wonderful rest of your life? It just, you know, you're right. It just sounds really, really crazy. But anyway, let's look at something else that you say is real important. You say you have to accept whatever happens or has happened in your life and move on and create something extraordinary. That's another, mindset is one place of being stuck. This is another biggie. People sometimes try and they fail, or they feel like they are born in the wrong time and the place and everything's against them, or, you know, something happened and so that must mean my life's not meant to be this. But I know you know, again, we're talking about a mindset. So what do you mean when you say accept whatever happens? Does that, acceptance is one part of it. Then what?
Well, acceptance is arguably one of the hardest things in human nature to really experience. And I believe it, and I learned this from a very good friend of mine, Dr. Rich Schaefer, who wrote a book where it really talks about, you know, life transformation. And once you can get to the stage of acceptance, it opens up a huge opportunity for you. And as I've been on my own personal development journey for well over a decade now, and then after reading his book a number of years ago, it really solidified the fact that I believe acceptance is huge, because once you can accept that things will happen, whether good, whether bad, whatever the case is, and recognize that there's a reason why they happen, and then be able to acknowledge them, learn from them, and then move on as quickly as possible, that is when, like I say, the magic starts to happen. Now, you know a little bit of this too, because again, you and I talk on more of a personal level, but, you know, I've been through some really rough things in my life, I'm currently 39 years old, about to turn 40 here pretty soon, and I've experienced more than some people do in a lifetime. With regards to, I've had two failed business partnerships, I've had two failed marriages. It's just things I would have never would have expected happen in my life. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I could have let each and every one of those bring me down and turn me into somebody who just doesn't want to even continue on in life, who will just accept that, well, life is terrible and whatever. But I chose not to do that. I chose to get through it, try to learn from it, and understand how I became a better man because of it. And the two that most recently happened, which were just both shocks to me, and I won't get into the personal side of it here, but I will tell you, because of the fact that I had learned about acceptance and learned about acknowledging these things and learning from them, I was able to get through them on such a rapid pace that some people actually thought, I lost my mind. And it wasn't until I would sit down and explain to them why I was able to deal with something that was such that could have been such a crushing blow to me, and that how I turned it into such a huge positive that it just blew people's minds. But it was only because of that I was able to accept that this happened, and it happened for some reason. And I will tell you, the two that most recently happened, my second failed marriage and my second business partnership that failed in 2012 has opened up some amazing opportunities for me that are going to allow me to have a greater impact on more people, not only just locally or even in America, but already across the world. It's just crazy what has come out of it. But it's because I accepted it and I moved on.
Well, I know you well enough to know how you handled that, and I get it. I know that there's no benefit in, you know, hanging on to the grief and the negativity of it all. And I know you may have been hurting, because I know you that well too, but you know how to put you know, dust yourself off, spin it, and get going. So I'm glad that you shared that. I really like having people understand that we're not just talking about people who became experts overnight, and you know, you've got all this wonderful information that you're living the normal life and having the good, bad, and ugly and different things happen to you as well. But in spite of all of that, you are living your dreams. You are being your best you, and I just so love that about what you do. Kevin, I know the information that you put out there that helps people, and I also know just what you just said, even have to help people that will be listening to this show. So it lets them know that, yeah, okay, so you get knocked down, dust yourself off, pick yourself up, shift your mind, your mindset, and keep on going, creating something extraordinary is what you say. That's really, really often awesome. You said something I'd like for you to reflect on just a little bit before we go to our next point. You said things happen for a reason, and are you suggesting then that when stuff happens, we need to really spend a good deal of reflection on what learning principle that brought to us? What do you mean when you say it happens for a reason?
Well, now, and again, you and I have chatted about this, but I have a very strong faith. And my faith is stronger now than it's ever been before, especially with what I've been through, because I believe that having a strong faith is really what allows me to consistently move forward and move forward quickly, and to make sure that I'm doing all the right things that I was really blessed with in life and with the talents that I have, which is why I am on this path to do some really incredible things. But for an example, I don't believe that I would have the vision that I have today for the impact that I'm going to have on the world regarding entrepreneurship and our kids and all those kind of things. And if we have some time, we can get into that a little bit. Had I not gone through what I've just gone through back in 2012. Because that happened, one, it showed me that my faith was not as strong as it should have been, and now that I've made a recommitment to my faith, and it is so incredibly strong, doors are being opened for me, opportunities are being given to me, and clarity is being presented to me in ways that I've never had it before, and I'm open to it, and I'm listening to it, and I'm really doing something with it. And so I believe that although I would not have chosen to have gone through these major life events that I've had in my life, I am thankful today that I have, because it has brought me to a point where I really believe now, more than ever before in my entire life, that I truly am on the right path and I truly am the best me. And I know that the best me is continuing to evolve, but now I have the confidence that I'm there and that I'm listening and that I'm following. Whereas before, I don't think I could say that. I really don't know that I could say that I was on the right path in life, that I knew ultimately why I was here, and I knew and recognized the talents that have been given to me. And so now that I know that, it's only because I believe that the experiences that have been, you know, put in my life were put there to get me to this point. Because, that, you know, as you're well aware, you know, adversity really makes you tough. And if you can get through adversity, what else can you get? And you can get through anything at that point in time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I heard from that, what you just said, is that sometimes it's bringing us some of our best lessons. And something else I'm thinking is that sometimes it corrects our path. You know,
right.
Puts us really where, in the direction of where we need to be going.
Right. Yes,
sometimes we're in one place and the shakeup comes in the form of a business sinking or a marriage that didn't work and a myriad of other things that we think are the worst things in the world that could be happening to us. But how many people have we heard saying, oh, if that had not happened, this would not have happened. This wonderful thing would not have happened. So it might just be God's way of correcting our pathway for us, Kevin.
You're right, and I really believe in that. And if you resist it, and you don't, and if you don't pay attention to it, it's going to keep happening until it gets bad enough, and then eventually you'll pay attention. And so that goes back to the whole acceptance thing. You know, the sooner that you can accept what's happening in life, the faster you can get through it. And people don't get that. And if they would just get that, it would change someone's life.
Yeah. Well, you say something else about all of this that, boy, I think is a, probably a hard one for a lot of people, too. You have to take a very critical look at who you spend time with. Because those people you spend the most time with will have a direct influence on who you are today and who you'll be tomorrow.
Exactly.
Wow. How do we get rid of our negative family and friends?
Well, that's an interesting one. I'm not saying that.
I'm kidding.
But you know where this really hit me was, and I remember everything about it. It was in 2006. I was at a conference, and one of the keynote speakers there was this gentleman by the name of Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N, if anybody wants to, do a search on him. And unfortunately, he's not with us any longer, but he was kind of like a little modern-day philosopher. And one of the things that hit me so hard, and I didn't know the impact of it at the time, it took me literally like 90 days of reflection on it to really have it sink in, was that he said, you become the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. And, man, I wrote that down. I read it over and over again. I had it on a piece of paper, and I took it with me everywhere while I was trying to figure out what does that really mean. And then as I went back and I reflected on the individuals that were in my life that I was spending the time with, I had recognized that there were two people that really, truly were not having good direct influence on me and the path that I was on, and in fact were actually having a negative impact on me where I believed that I was not anywhere near the best me that I could have been. And so because of that, I made some really tough choices, and I had conversations with both of them and basically ended the friendships that I had with them. And it was hot. It was probably some of the hardest moments that I have had, because these were individuals I spent a ton of time with and that I did consider a friend. But then when I recognized the fact that they really weren't, and that they really weren't my friend because they weren't trying to make me better, helping me be better, supporting me, whatever the case is going to be. And actually, well, it seemed as if when I reflected back on it, were working to try to bring me down. It was really sad, and I didn't recognize it. And once I did, and I got rid of that burden, it was amazing to me how my life started to evolve. And now, you know, 7 years later from when I heard that one statement, I am critical about this on a regular basis. I am always self-examining and seeing who I'm spending time with to make sure that it is congruent with the mission, the purpose, and the journey that I'm on in life. And, you know, it takes some guts to be willing to do something like that.
It sure does. And I know you can't reveal all of it, but you said some things about these people. You know, they were real close to you.
Right.
And I imagine if, you know, once you get the revelation that you're meant for greater, it and you see that people are not on that same page with you, you do have to make some choices. And I would guess that's why a lot of other people don't succeed. It's tough to just cut people out of your life like that. When you had your conversation with them, obviously they didn't put the script on what they were doing because you had to leave them behind. But can you tell us a little bit about what that conversation, how that went? I mean, I know about your part, but what kind of rebuttal did you get?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And I'm really glad that you asked it, because most people don't ask me that after I tell that story. And what was interesting about it was I was just very upfront. And I just said, listen, I am at a moment in my life where I feel as if there are some things that are holding me back from really where I ultimately want to be and should be. And unfortunately, I believe that our friendship just isn't working anymore. I just truly don't believe that where you want to go and where I want to go really align with themselves. And because of the fact that I'm on this mission and I'm on this journey, I just don't know that now is the time anymore for us to really be spending time together. And I know that this is going to be really hard for you to hear. And you may have all sorts of thoughts about me and what it is that I'm saying. But unfortunately, at this point in time, I just want to let you know so that when I'm not around anymore, you don't question why. And, you know, the conversation was similar to that. It wasn't obviously, you know, that script by any means, but it was something very close to it. And in both of those moments, it really was a look of shock. And I would say in both situations, neither of the individuals really knew exactly what to say, because I don't believe they've ever had anybody present something like that to them before. And so it really ended very abruptly, and nothing negative, though. I will say it's not like there was some big shouting matches or whatever the case was going to be, but I think it was the fact that these two individuals heard something they've never heard before, and they needed to walk away and reflect on it themselves to really understand what that meant. And to this day, you know, I still do not have any interaction or relationship with those individuals as well. Now, I'm not saying that if somebody chooses to do something like this that it will end in the same manner, but I think regardless of whatever the reaction is, if somebody chooses to do something like this, the thing you have to do is just have to be strong, and you just have to let the person air their feelings, whatever they want to say, and don't get caught up into a debate. Don't feel like you have to sit there and justify all the reasons why. You can just listen to them and say, you know what, I appreciate what you've had to say to me, and I understand this is coming as a shock to you, and I don't expect you to really know how to feel, you know, after I say this to you, and then just be done with it. I mean, there's no need to prolong it or let it move on. It's not easy. There's no doubt about it.
And I know from experience, too, there really isn't a middle ground with it either. You know, you know what you want to do, and it's not a thing where you can still go out to play with them. It's just not, you know, because you really are not on the same playing field anymore. And you said something else that's very unfortunate. They seem to want to work to bring you down, rather. Kevin, I'm back on the air. Are you?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can. Well, I tell you, I have never had technical difficulties of this sort. I'm going to have to go back in and do quite a bit of editing, but that's okay. I'll fix it all, and it'll sound like there were no gaps at all. But I know the last thing I was saying to you is how challenging it is to interrupt relationships. You either have the choice of moving on and going higher or staying where you are. And a lot of people make the unfortunate choice that they feel like they're, you know, leaving too much behind. So we hope we're talking to people, though, who know how to get on the right train going in the right direction. If not, at least they'll have some strategies they can start with and try. So anyway, let's move along. You've got a couple of other things that I want to make sure we talk about. One important thing you mentioned a couple of few minutes ago is about your faith. And you said that we have to have faith that the changes we make, whether it's friends or whatever, will result in us becoming our best self.
Right. And what I mean by that is really twofold. For those who have a faith in God, you know, that's one component of it. And for me, you know, that's the big one for me. Like, I really believe that God has a purpose for me, and that for the first time in my life now for, you know, about probably 8 months, I believe that I'm really hearing him and I'm being led by him and doing the things that he wants me to do. And the reason I say that and the reason why for me it's proof that it's happening is that doors are being opened for me and opportunities are being given to me that I've never had before, and they've come with ease, which makes me believe that I'm listening and that I'm following. But for those who don't necessarily have faith in God, what I mean by faith is you just have to have faith. And what I mean by that is you have to have belief that what you're doing is right. So really it's having faith in yourself, having faith that you are making the decision that is correct and proper for you to be able to go on whatever journey it is that you have chosen. But faith is an act. It's an act that says, whether or not I have proof, I believe it to be true. And so it goes along with the acceptance. It goes along with having the guts. It says to yourself that, you know what, I'm going to make these decisions, and I'm going to believe that these decisions are the right things for me. So you have to have that faith one way or the other.
Can you tell us, faith is one thing, and I love what you just said, you know, whether or not I have proof, I believe it's true.
Right.
Can you mesh that for me with some of your work ethics, some of the principles that you live by every day to take yourself successfully towards your goals in your work arena, for instance? I know that probably sounds like a no-brainer to some people, but I know that you have to get up each morning with a certain type of attitude, for instance. So let's talk about just going there first.
Yeah, I mean, attitude is huge. On a daily basis, as an example, with my main, because I do have multiple ventures, but with my main business and my mortgage practice, you know, we're under major tight deadlines and just crazy government oversight and all these kind of things. I mean, we're talking really stressful stuff, things that have huge impacts on individuals. Because when you buy a home, you refinance, whatever the case is going to be, it's like this huge, major financial transaction that you're doing, and in most cases, the largest you'll ever do for the majority of people. And so there's a lot of pressure that comes with that, and there's a lot of scrutiny and all this kind of stuff. And so it's very easy every day to wake up and be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I have to do this again. Oh, my gosh, you know, I'm having all these problems, and this is happening, that's happening, and I just don't want to do it. And if you get up like that, which is what a lot of people do, well, of course, what do you think your day is going to be like? What do you think, how do you think you're going to act towards people, talk to people in a certain way? Whereas I get up and I say, listen, you know, challenges are going to happen. You know, I don't view them as problems. I view them as challenges, because when there's a challenge, that means that you can ultimately come up with a result. And if you come up with a result, whether it can be perceived as good or negative, it's a result, and then you just have to get through it. And so with that, since I really view my day as a challenge every day and I look at that as a positive, it allows me to get up. It allows me to continue moving forward. It allows me to want to do more, to continue to want to have an impact, and know full well that the challenges aren't going to stop. It's not like I'm going to go a week without a challenge. I anticipate having them on a regular basis. And it's because of the fact that I have the right attitude about them that I don't mind getting up and going to work. In fact, I love it. I enjoy it. And for me, that's why I work as much as I do and I put in as much time as I do. And I believe I've been as successful as I've been is because I'm willing to take on the responsibilities that I have chosen in all of my various fields of how I'm trying to have an impact. And I take those very seriously. And I do, and this I think needs to go unsaid, but I'll say it anyways, is the fact that I do have very high morals, very high ethics, and very high values when it comes to everything. And I believe that people recognize that, and that's why they want to do business with me. I don't have to talk about it because I am. And when you get to that stage and you really believe that you're doing the best that you can and that you recognize that things are going to happen and you'll get through them, that, again, it allows you to be your best you. It allows you to be the best employee. It allows you to be the best business person, the best advisor, whatever the case is. But you have to wake up and be ready to take it on because nothing's going to come easy.
Right. And you're so right. And, again, it baffles me the newer mindsets or the blinded mindsets, I should say, that have so much of society believing that there is a way to fast forward all of it. There's a way to skip some of the steps to getting to your best self or your best life or the success that so many people crave. It isn't easy, and you gotta bolt out of bed with your mindset on getting past all of the nonsense, the craziness, the negativity, all of that, because it isn't going to change. It's going to be there. It shows up just all by itself. I mean, even the Bible tells us each day has enough, you know, for lack of a better way of explaining it, and I mean no blasphemy when I say, but crap, it has enough crap of its own, negativity of its own, hard things of its own, without us having to lend ourselves to creating, you know, it through our thinking. We have to be very assertive in our positive thinking. We have to be very aggressive in our approach to getting past all of that. But the great news is it does make you so much more of a strategist about your day because you are ready, because you know that, okay, that's happening. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ignore it, or I'm going to do something, or I'm going to figure out a way, or I'm going to jump over it or go under it, around it, or something. But it's going to be there. And I think the sooner we can really get that in our thinking, that it the day comes with that, and we have to be masterful, mindful, and ready to deal with it, because there's so much with all of the crappiness that goes on. There's so much good and so much happiness and so much greatness and so much other stuff that we are able to embrace once we know how to maneuver ourselves through that part of it. So that's great. I'm glad that you explained the way that you did. But I also think of, you know, Kevin, you're a very smart man. You're smart. You're intelligent. You're educated, and those things also bring so much to life. But you don't have to necessarily have a PhD or an extraordinary life of education to have your best life. So I'd like to hear some of your ethics on that. And while you're talking about that, if you would, reflect on the fact that somebody's best life isn't necessarily somebody else's best, looks like somebody else's best life.
Right. You know, the big thing is that I believe that in our society today at large, people perceive what their best life should be from a definition of somebody else, whether it's TV, whether it's pop stars, sports athletes, I don't know who, right? But there's just so many people who have an opinion, And it's funny because so many of these people live such fake lives, and they're so miserable, and all these kind of things that we get confused by all these images that are out there. And that's where you have to, like, shut it down. You know, you have to be able to understand what is reality, what is a game, what is misperception, all this kind of stuff. And so that's why, like, for me, I don't care how other people live. I don't care what they think my life should be or whatever the case is. I'm defining it on my own, and I've only been able to define it on my own through my own continuing education, not just, like, about business, but about me personally. You know, I have a therapist that I've been seeing for, gosh, probably 11 years now, and I owe it to her, along with my relationship with God, and he brought her into my life, with regards to why I'm still here today and why I'm still successful and why I'm continuing to be better as an individual. And it's only because of that I've sought this information. And, yeah, you're right. You don't need a PhD to be smart. I've learned the majority of everything I've learned today through my own self-study, whether it's through observation, whether it's through being in, you know, situations or whatever the case is, that I know for a fact that I'm evolving. And evolving, and what I mean by that is evolving spiritually, emotionally, mentally, from a confidence standpoint, all these different kind of things. And so I think people need to know that they don't have to worry about other people's definitions of, quite frankly, anything. They just have to be confident in however they want to define it. So stop listening to others and start listening to yourself, which goes back to the faith thing. Either your faith in God or your faith in yourself that you can make all the right decisions.
That's really good. I wanted you to talk about that because, you know, when we look around, and you just really did that so elaborately, you know, it's always a big mansion in a you know, a Bentley and all of that. And yeah, that is funny.
Right.
That's the image, and I don't mean that's funny in the sense that, I mean, it's fun to live like that. That's not what I mean. I just mean the statistics don't show us that that's everybody's life or that it's even meant to be everybody's life. And
right.
I think you're absolutely right when you say, you know, stop trying to make that be the only way you think you can feel worthy or valuable or noticed. Or and I oftentimes think about this. If the people who are wishing and wanting a, you know, a mansion and a Bentley and all that would realize that if they had a really, you know, decent house and car to travel wherever they wanted to and, you know, their bills paid every month, they'd be happy. They just maybe don't know that yet. You know,
right.
it doesn't take that level of bestness. That's meant for some people. And it's actually meant for anybody who wants to aspire and work hard to get to that. But there's so many levels of wonderful in life. And, you know, being at your best is absolutely at the level where you choose that you want to find yourself thriving and living at. And you're going to feel fantastic when you get there. You know, if it's the Bentley and the mansion, wonderful. If it's the Ford Focus in a two or three bedroom, you know, home in the neighborhood, all that's good as well. It's just about you being your best you and really letting what you need and desire and want be the definition of that.
And I'd love to interject something because what you said is just absolutely brilliant. And I think how people need to put it into perspective is it's not about things. Like, things don't make you happy. Things don't define you as being successful because a lot of what's going out there is all superficial anyways. The majority of people who have a lot of this stuff really probably can't even afford it as it is, but they just have such insecurities that they have to, you know, put all these things in their lives to make themselves feel better. And really what I believe is I believe a couple of things, and there's many of them, but these are two of the big ones, is that when you get to the point that you, you know, really become your best you and that all of a sudden your life is turning into something really spectacular, what it does is it gives you a sense of freedom and a sense of no longer having to worry, because you believe that all the things that you're doing are putting yourself into the right position to be successful, to be taken care of, and to be able to live a really wonderful life. And so to live with this freedom of being able to make choices and to live without worry, I think is huge. But you can't get there until you can really deal with and accept the fact that you are where you are and that you want to put yourself into the position that allows you to be your best you.
Absolutely. Well, this information has just been awesome. We are down to literally seconds, so I am going to thank you for taking time out of your vacay to talk to me and make me and listeners and Foxology a better program to listen to. I can't wait to start promoting this information that you were on today. Kevin, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'll reach out to talk to you again real soon. I'll follow up shortly. But thanks a million. You are as brilliant as ever, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today. So you have a wonderful day, wonderful vacation, and I'll reach out soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Silvery, for having me on. And, you know, thanks to everybody who's actually listening today and going to do something with this.
All right. You be blessed, sir. Talk to you later.
Okay. Sounds great.
And I want to thank you. We're down to seconds, as I said. Be your best you. And I know you from this show learned a lot of ways to do that. So I want to appreciate you for listening and tell you to have the best day possible. Thank you so much.